Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, an action-packed first half of the show. I challenge any of you to find a more diverse podcast. Who? Porn star Christy Canyon and conservative activist Charlie Kirk on the first half of the show. Both brilliant, I might add. First, LegalZoom. Becoming a successful business owner doesn't just happen. It takes hard work and resources like LegalZoom, created 18 years ago to help Americans get past the hurdles of owning a business. Since then, over 2 million people have trusted LegalZoom to help their business. Incorporating, forming an LLC, tax advice, contract reviews, trademarks, and they have a network of independent attorneys and professionals that can give you the guidance you need. Best part, you won't get charged by the hour. Oh, the dreadful billable hour. Since LegalZoom is not a law firm, LegalZoom can help you and your small business get started, get focused, and do it today at LegalZoom. Right, Dawson?
Visit LegalZoom.com now and use promo code Adam at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code Adam. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. LegalZoom.com.
Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult and it shouldn't get in the way. And that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership. And when you're ready to purchase a home, and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage. Right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the founder of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, Christy Canyon calls in, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, Ancient Chinese Secret, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The judgment, get on the mandate to get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for hitting that share button on your flip phone. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian. Why haven't you mastered the accordion?
I'm working on it.
All right, so Charlie Kirk's going to come in here. He's a young guy. He's conservative. And I said to Dylan, you're a young guy. You're liberal. Why don't you debate?
Oh, boy. That'll be lively.
Dylan was very clear with us in the green room before the show. Like, I'll just be bringing up topics to discuss.
This is not a debate.
Well, we're not. We're calling. I just said pick three subjects. Let Charlie give his approach or his take on one, and then you can give your take on the other. You won't be cutting each other off. It'll just be a young conservative perspective and a young liberal perspective, and we'll hear what the takes are, and we can pick and choose the ones, the bits and pieces we like from both.
I like it.
So, a la carte.
So we have that coming up. I got some hot Partridge talk coming up.
We've been waiting.
Yeah,
just we thought there wasn't more you could mine out of this 50-year-old show.
Yeah. I think I have a new guy in my Mount Rushmore of guys I can't hang with.
Okay. Mm.
It's a little more nuanced than a lot of my guys, but this guy.
I can't stop talking about the Partridge family.
I can't stop.
Back to the Partridge family for a second.
You know, your daughter's death reminds me of an episode of the Partridge Family. I'll wait till after the eulogy.
Yeah. We've all experienced loss.
Like when they canceled the Partridge Family. Or that year that Keith tried to date the Playmate. All right. So
guy can't hang with.
Guy can't hang with. Guy who wears the weighted vest and goes out hiking, you know, while the sun is shining.
Seen like, that
makes,
guy a lot.
He makes sure it's during peak hours of Runyon Canyon.
What is the weighted vest?
It's like extra weight loss.
So vest with a weight on. Yeah, it's a. You take a vest and, you know, you strap it on. They put like lead pellets in it or lead whatever
looks
ingots
like
in it.
A Kevlar. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And it's so, look, I get it if you're a UFC fighter and you're cutting weight or something. But I'm just talking about general, hey, look at me, guy.
Right.
You know, the guy who's doing, you see this guy at the gym, he's doing his inverted crunchies. He's like hanging with the gravity boots, but he has to grab the 10-pound plate and hold it over his head. Just do two more reps and it'll be the same as you holding that. But you want everyone to see this crazy torture.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't even know how this works, but at some point in the bench press, chains started going on the end of the bench press, and I don't know where the chain gets.
Chains?
Oh, yeah. Chains, it's like big links.
Yeah, they have plates, they have discs with numbers on them. Just put more
of those.
It's a sort of weird gladiator kind of thing. I
blame CrossFit.
Exercise is good. You making a spectacle out of it is not good.
Well, speaking of CrossFit, how do you feel about the tire flipping guy? Because that's a big CrossFit move.
My thing is if you're at the CrossFit Center, fine. Yeah. If you're going to do it at Studio City Park, then no.
Bring your own monster truck tire.
Bring your own tractor trailer.
Yes, just do your stuff in your place or in the appropriate place.
Appropriate setting.
You know, it's like when you see, I would see guys jogging down Ventura Boulevard, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the teeth of rush hour. Why are you picking that time? Yeah. There's more carbon monoxide particles in the air. You're breathing and running.
And here of all places.
Also, you could go one street down and go on Valley Heart. There's no traffic, but no one would see you.
Yeah, no one would see you shirtless and glistening, huffing and puffing.
Right. So it's my you've got to see me thing that bothers me.
I got to fess up to being a little bit of that guy. Back 10 years ago when I was actually in good shape, I'm a weakling now, but 10 years ago, I was actually in decent shape. I would go to the gym next door at the building where you recorded Family Guy. They had a gym and we got, you know, CBS radio discount employee, you know, whatever. So I would go at 10:30 in the morning and I would do, the sit-up machines where like you're kind of inverted, but like you have the arm, they have the arms that reach up and you grab them and you
You
do that thing. I would take the resistance band, like the ones you, the resistance band,
the rubber band,
the rubber band with the handles, and I would thread it. I would strap it to one arm, thread it underneath, and strap it to the other arm for extra resistance for the sit-ups. And my one of the proudest days of my young life at that point was when a trainer came by and he was training someone else, and he stops and he looks at me and goes, "That's ingenious."
Wow!
Thank you.
Eye of the tiger.
The whole thing by a trainer, if it's about training, it's a big compliment. Mm-hmm. If it's about any other facet of life, then
sweet ass.
Right. No,
nice fanny pack.
They go, "That was a funny joke you told about Japanese people." It's not a compliment from a trainer unless it's training.
Right.
It's kind of interesting because they are super limited. And it is like when the trainer gives you the, "Jesus Christ, you can stand on a yoga ball? That's amazing."
That's a real trust.
That's a big thing. Yeah. When he goes, "I read the foreword to your book and it made me feel good." That's weird. It's never good. It's only that. Now, like a college professor gives you a compliment, it's sort of universal.
Right. Sure.
Or even a music teacher,
learned,
something like that. But something about the personal trainer. All right. Partridge Family clip. I thought you would enjoy. The speech. So I'm sitting there watching from 1974, and Lori Partridge had entered the homecoming sweepstakes, and she'd entered it because if she won it, she was going to be able to give a speech on, like, equality. Because earlier in the episode, earlier in the episode, she had a female friend who was going to try out for the boys' basketball team in high school. Mm-hmm. And of Of course, they couldn't hire an actor who could dribble the ball, so she looked super lame. Like, she tried to dribble the ball, and it looked like somebody trying to dribble the ball has never played basketball. And at some point, she did a weird hop and jump, and then they cut to a tight picture of the ball banking in. It's like, really? Yeah. I know it's 1974, but you couldn't just make it one shot. Yeah. Anyway. Then they do this thing where she tries out. She's scoring on all the boys. And then that part where the generic white middle-aged coach guy pulls her aside and goes, you know, I can't let you on the team. You're a girl. Yeah,
you're dominating out there.
Right. But and sure, you could think it was cruel to invite you to try out. And then in the middle of the tryouts where you're dominating, pull you aside and explain to you, you know, we can't let you on this team. Rules are rules. That's something maybe you could have vetted before the actual tryout. But okay.
Better late than never, I suppose.
Right. So he
does get to the game and get told I can't play.
He does
play.
That, and her and Lori are tired of, you know, what's going on in the man's world out there. And she is not a homecoming queen because that sort of flies in the face of her progressive feminine nature, but she's going to go back
the platform.
And win the competition to get the platform. And when she wins, she gives this speech, Max Zapata.
That's when she wins? Oh, spoiler alert.
This is from... Now, let me tell you something. When you hear this, realize this is before Richard Nixon has left office in 1974. It is before the advent of the pet rock. It is before the end of the Vietnam War. It is before the Bay City Rollers had a number one hit. Ooh. No one had heard of the Bay City Rollers. It is multiple years before Roots premiered, and it's about the time Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs are about to play tennis. So that's how long ago in this country's history this speech is. You tell me if it sounds familiar.
The homecoming queen of San Pueblo High School, Miss Lori Partridge.
Thank you very much. I want each and every one of you to know that I am not the least bit flattered to have been chosen to receive this dubious distinction.
Mugga. Mugga, mugga.
What about?
I am appalled at such customs and traditions that judge people by labels. Labels of race, creed, color, and even sex. People are people, and they must be judged by their merits, whether they are lawyers or teachers or basketball players.
Oh, yeah.
There she is.
Now, I had a lot more to say on the subject, but I think you know what I'm talking about. It's simply that people are everything and that women are people.
What? That is the greatest story I have ever heard.
I apologize for using this contest as a forum for my views, but it's time that someone spoke up.
All right.
There is one other thing. I cannot accept the title of homecoming queen because it stands for so many things that I am against. Therefore, according to the rules, I hereby decline and turn the crown over to the first runner-up, your new homecoming queen.
All right. There we go. It's a guy who ran for homecoming.
Oh, my God. What a perfect episode.
Richard Nixon is in office, and we're talking about equality and rights and people of brown colored skin and creed and religion and race. It's been going on. Wow. It's been around
for a while.
Yeah. A while. I mean, most people that are talking about this shit were not born when this shit was on primetime TV.
No.
So when you talk to this old podcaster and Partridge fan aficionado, I just kind of go, yeah, that's all shit I heard growing up. And I think they think I'm nuts or full of shit or something. I heard all this shit growing up already.
Let me challenge you with a question. If we're having the same conversations as we were in 1974, have we come very far?
Yes.
That's the question that naturally comes from that point.
Yeah, I think we have come very far. If you think about where we're at socially then. Well, let's just take a look at women and what women could do or where women worked or how much money they made or
played on basketball teams.
Gals in the steno pool make a lot more now.
Yeah, the steno pool, the secretarial pool.
True or false? Is there a girl on Sonny's basketball team?
Yeah, it's Sonny.
I imagine there would be. She's dominating.
No, the girls' volleyball team at my kids' junior high beats the boys. I don't even know if the boys have a team, but when they play the boys, they beat the boys.
They play for the right to play?
Yeah. I don't know. We just celebrated the Women's World Cup. I don't know. What I'm saying is... Sonny does have he does have a girl on the team.
Yeah. Or at least in the league. I saw some videos in there.
Oh, yeah. She's a little Asian gal, man. She's a mean motor scooter and a bad go-getter.
I saw him handing her water.
That's right.
From the bench.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I guess one could look at it as a never-ending conversation about progress that we're never making. But there were many things going on back then that we don't have today. Like, you know, whatever it was to be gay in 1974 versus now and how that worked.
You were a fringe member of society. But, you know,
right.
Like,
right.
I think your point of the never-ending conversation, despite in spite of progress or even adjacent to, there will always be this conversation, no matter how much
progress. As long as there's assholes who want to make themselves victims constantly, yes, there shall be. As long as there's Alyssa Milano, there shall... Oh, well, wait a minute. Her daughter will grow up in 25 years, continue the discussion about being oppressed. There, as long it's a default human condition. It's a setting. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to go there. It takes character not to go there, but it's easy. It's like you ring that bell, you get a reward. You get a treat. Mm-hmm. Every time you ring that bell, you get a treat. That's why it's easy for people to go there. Ooh, speaking of women and their place.
She just got disconnected.
No, come on.
We're calling her back.
Christy Canyon's on the phone.
Oh. We don't hear as much about Creed as we used to.
No.
Or it doesn't come up anymore.
No, I know. I miss Creed.
There was a sequel last year.
Yeah.
No one saw.
Yeah. But she's talking about women's rights. She's talking about racial.
Yeah.
And
sweet speech.
And all that stuff, too. Now, there's a funny... All right, Max Bat, now you have to find this, which is funny. The clip of the dolly. I will tell you guys. You guys tell me how this works. This entire episode is about women's rights, not being pigeonholed. Just because I'm a girl doesn't mean I can't play on the boys' basketball team. Doesn't mean I want to bake cookies in the kitchen. I want to be out on that hardwood floor duking it out with the boys. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, they said, all right, let's have a scene where the basketball player, female, and Lori Partridge were commiserating in her room after her being cut from the basketball team and coming up with a new plan of what they could do to stem the tide of male chauvinism. Here, take note of the space work. Because when you're directing a scene, you don't have two people just sit on a folding chair.
No.
You have some person brushing their hair and the other person is cleaning, straightening something. You give them business. Right. All right. Take note of the business they gave to the tomboy who wants equal rights for men and to play on the men's basketball team when they cut the Lori's room. Take it. Reuben Kincaid we're looking at right now. You guys just describe what's going on. Is this our bad internet all the time?
Great week. You get humiliated by the basketball coach, and I get humiliated by my own family.
She's playing with what looks like a cabbage patch kid.
Raggedy Ann. You can't even get the men to listen.
These are 20-year-olds.
There's a problem.
Right.
Of course, I wouldn't exactly call Keith and Danny men.
No, but there's always a possibility they'll grow up someday.
All right. Her space work is play with a dolly.
Yeah.
Doesn't that fly in the face of the theme of women's lib and equality and making the basketball? Why would you have her play with a dolly?
My thinking is that she was hurt and retreating to some childhood thing, but like
you're very good at that, Brian. But this ain't that.
That's a weird choice, though.
Well, that room's pretty bad.
Have her holding a basketball, like spinning it on her finger.
Come on now.
See, that's what I'm saying. The directors didn't even buy into the directors were the male chauvinist pig. Yeah. Like a couple of gals sitting around a room. Give her a dolly.
Yep.
Get busy.
Get busy braiding her hair.
It's weird that she needed space work and they had her grooming a dolly.
It's weird, too. There's women in their 20s and she's playing with a dolly. It's creepy.
All right. Christy Canyon is on line 4. Christy Canyon?
That is me, my Adam, who I haven't seen in far too long.
I know. I miss us.
I do. We've had this wonderful, like, 40-year relationship, and I miss you.
I have no idea.
Are you in the San Fernando Valley?
Yes, I am. And on my radio show, we call it Porn Valley, baby. Get the terminology correct.
What is a day in the life of Christy Canyon these days?
She's down the street.
Right now, sitting in my car in some back alley, because I'm like, I got to print some photos for my website. You know, and I like have to like hover in front of like, I miss a camera where you just draw off the film at some shady like, you know, a place that develops film, and they charge you a little bit more, but they don't really mind the spread shots. Now you got to go to, like, CVS and, like, hunker down in front of that screen.
We got you there? Did she drop off?
It is very shaming, though, that big Jumbotron kiosk.
Maybe she just come in. She's in the valley.
I know. All right, we'll try to figure this out. It's got to be weird, like, in the... Back in the day when Christy Canyon would drop off a few rolls of film at the Rite Aid.
That's right.
You think when the guy returned it, he's like, Christy, somebody snuck in some tasteful closed pictures into some of your shots. I don't know if someone got hold of the camera and was like a goof.
I don't want to alarm you.
I don't alarm you, but there are pictures of you dressed.
I don't want to tell you this, but there appears to be birthday photos in here as a cake and
yeah.
Family.
Right, now she's on line 5. Let's see if this works. Christy?
I didn't even get down and raunchy and dirty. The worst I said was spread shots, and you hung up on me.
I think God hung up on you.
Hey, Charlie Kirk.
Let's take a little walk down memory lane. Your first movie, you heard what I said about your first movie, right, on Golden Blonde and how we're all so excited to see it?
No, because I was cut off twice.
Oh, I mean,
but anyway,
I was told that you'd heard us talking about it.
The other day.
Oh, I did. Yes, I did. No, not really. Somebody told me. But go on. I'll jump in wherever you want. On Golden Blonde, my first movie, but it was shot simultaneously in the same week period and in the same location as Night of Loving Dangerously. So in my brain, what's left of it, I sometimes get those two movies mixed up, but they were great and they were fun. They had Tracy Lords, Ginger Lynn, Peter North. Need I say anything more? And I learned what a douche was on that set.
How?
Peter North.
Oh. You met Ron Please, Jeremy?
Yeah.
How did you find your way into this business?
Good luck, I guess. You know what? I wrote about this in my book, but because I went to elementary school with you, I'll tell you. I was, you know, broke, barely 18, living in Hollywood on Franklin and Orchid, one of the nastiest places. But, you know, when you're 18, you've got no fear. I was definitely barely 18. Anyway, my MG midget was broken for the millionth time. I had no money to fix it. So I'm waiting on the corner of Franklin and Orchid for my girlfriend to pick me up in her beat-up car, but at least her beat-up car worked. And this, like, hot guy pulls up in a white Trans Am with the gold eagle on the hood and the T-tops are off.
I think that was my dad.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust me, it wasn't your dad.
Oh.
But he was our age. And pulls over and he's like, hey, pretty lady, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, waiting for my girlfriend to pick me up. He's like, well, want to wait in here? It's nice and cool. I got the air conditioner on.
I got a Mr. Microphone. Like,
hey, good looking.
Right. Yeah.
It was so porn. It was like the beginning of a scene. And so I get in, you know, I feel that plush, you know, which I couldn't afford, the sheepskin covers. I'm like, oh, this is so nice. And so we, like, you know, chit-chatting a little bit. And then he's like, hey, you're so pretty. Have you thought of figure modeling? And I'm, like, looking at my hands going, ooh, I do have really nice fingers. And, you know, looking down at my toes and my flip-flops and thinking, oh, like, you know, hands and feet. That's how naive I was. They didn't teach us that at North Hollywood High.
No.
And I said, yeah, that sounds, you know, sure. And then he pulls out a Hustler magazine, and he's got, you know, the paper clip where he's in it. Greg Rome, for those of you who remember that name from the 80s. And he's like, no, like this. And he, like, opens it up. And it was very soft core for a magazine back in the day. You know, like the member. I know. I don't know what I could say on your show. But his,
say whatever you,
know,
you
feeling,
want. Say whatever you want.
His Johnson was, like, you know, 3 inches from Lisa DeLeo's mouth. And she, you know, the head's thrown back. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is that thing that they call porn, you know. This isn't me. I was raised in a nice area. And but he gave me the agent's card, and I, like, tucked it away thinking, oh, I could never do that. Meanwhile, I have no money, working two jobs, not talking to my family. And one night, like a month later, I called the agency at, like, you know, 2 in the morning after coming back from Seven Seas, if you remember that club.
Yeah.
And I remember that. I loved it. Eddie Nash Club. And I called, and there was a machine, of course, like they work 24 hours. And I left my name and number. And then next thing I know, he calls me the next morning. I go in, and the rest is adult history, baby. Christy Canyon.
Was there a decision from doing magazines and doing photo stuff to actually doing filmed intercourse? Did you have to sort of stop and go, how much, or do I want to go down this road, or did you just transition right through that intersection?
You know what? I was kind of in a weird way, and I hold no grudges because I loved my agent back then, but I was kind of set up. I look back on the issue, you know, because I was doing magazines, totally happy, you know, a couple hardcore magazines, big deals, nothing I wasn't doing for free in the bathroom at Seven Seas anyway. And then I get to a set one day, and the agent said, oh, it's a loop. And I'm like, okay, fine. And all of a sudden I get, and it was Billy Idol's house. He owned it after this. So he must have owned it in the 90s. Gorgeous house in the Hollywood Hills. They never skimped on location fees, that's for sure. And I pull up in my VW Scirocco, and there's, like, camera crews. And I'm, like, thinking, oh, this doesn't look like a magazine layout. But I'm like, okay, Christy, you could do it, you could do it. And I get up there, and sure enough, it's what they call a loop, which was like a scene. Now they call it gonzo, pretty much, without, you know, the choking and spitting on. But it was like just a sex scene with no real dialogue, and, you know, it was just sex. But it was beautiful sex with Ron Jeremy. And I get in there, and I'm like, so where do we shoot the magazine layout? And they're like, magazine layout? We're shooting film. And I said, no, Jim said it was a loop. And they're like, that's what we call this. It's a 20-minute vignette, and we put it on a cassette, VHS, with like 3 other loops. And, you know, it's kind of just, that's what it is. But don't worry. You don't have to learn any dialogue or anything. Just
your problems are solved.
And I think, easier said than done. I mean, I wasn't a virgin, but like a camera, like this, I knew that this was going to be the tipping point, you know, where, like, you can't go back. But yet I stayed. I didn't have to. No one had a gun to my head. I could have left. But I stayed, and I wasn't crazy about it. I mean, I was scared. If you see that film, well, Loop, Swedish Erotica 57, I swear it looks like someone must have had a shotgun to my head. I looked like the doe in the headlights. Poor Ron Jeremy was working double time to get me off, and it didn't work.
My heart aches for him.
You know,
banging an 18-and-a-half-year-old Christy Canyon and getting paid. That's rough.
So one more take.
I was like, well, I got one more, shoot, the On Golden Blonde and Night of Loving Dangerously. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to go back to magazines. Then I get on that set, though, and it was like, you know what? This is fun. These people are good looking. I loved it. And it was just, that was the beginning of the beginning. I mean, I'm glad I stayed and didn't bolt because it worked out good for me 35 years later.
So Swedish Erotica 57 is technically your first adult film, not on Golden Blonde.
Correct. Actual intercourse, yes.
Did you have, obviously you had no feelings about the internet and this stuff living forever. Have you thought about it? Have you made peace with it? I'm trying to think. So everybody who is listening to me is listening on a smartphone, and everyone who's listening to me can go find that vignette of you with Swedish Erotica 57 with the device they're hearing me right now. Many have just stopped this podcast as
quick pause.
So now, obviously, that is something nobody dreamt of, and maybe it moved incrementally. At the beginning, there were films, and they were stag films, and they had these movie houses. But if you came from Indiana and your family was all there, there was just no chance they would ever discover any of this, much less children, acquaintances,
friends,
business partners down the road or whatever. Everything is accessible now, and it'll be there long after we're all gone. Is that good? Is it bad? Have you made your peace with it? There was an initial anger, and then that turned into something else? Or where are you at with that?
It's not good or bad. It's totally indifferent to me. I mean, I haven't made a film in 20 years. I've been on Radio 15. First it was Playboy, now it's Vivid Radio on Sirius XM. You know what?
Lost her.
Wonder why
seems like our phone things are so tough.
We took four calls last show.
Hold on a second.
Our phone calls when people call into our show are always good. Somehow when I'm interviewing somebody, it's tough. Like Garrigus can be tough sometimes. Like when we line up calls for just, hey, I want to ask Adam how he invented the word behindman. Those are always fine. Somehow, when I'm interested, it's really when I'm interested. That's how we gauge it.
Okay, you're looking at it wrong. The callers never get more than 30 seconds before you put them on hold because they remind you of another rant.
You know what, Brian? When you're right, you're right. And it takes a big, big man, a huge man, a big podcaster. All right, we'll see if we can get Chrissy back on. This notion that it's now everywhere all the time and forever, and you don't get paid for it.
And you didn't know that going into it.
Oh, going in to do that loop with Ron Jeremy?
It's like a double
life. What'd that pay, $80?
For a video or a film you assume would be lost to history.
Yeah.
Right. Christy?
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't know why I'm not moving. I don't know why it's hung up three times, but I'm back. No, it wasn't $80, little Missy. I got paid a whopping
$400. Oh, well, so you're still living off that then, right?
I took one look at her.
And let me tell you, when you're 18 and you got $3 to your name and you're working 80 hours a week for $400, that was a fortune. Okay, back to the question before it hung up. I don't care that my stuff is out there. I mean, is it ideal? No. I'm indifferent to it, though. My stuff is so vintage. I mean, they'd have to transfer VHS onto the computer. Do you know how grainy it is?
One could only imagine.
Joy. You know, like, let me tell you, the quality is not great. But what are you going to do? There's nothing that I could do. I've never not had peace with it.
I
don't have any issues with it. It is what I chose to do. I accept it. And I had one hell of a good time, let me tell you.
All right.
It was fun.
A slightly controversial question, but you seem very open and embrace your sexuality. Did you ever do any prostitution? Did you ever do a thing where somebody said, I want to have sex with Christy Canyon, and I will pay a lot of money for her to have sex with? And then if not, what's sort of the difference?
I was from a generation where very few girls escorted. So no, I have never, no one will ever be able to call you up and go, bullshit, I gave her 500, 1,000 or 10,000. I never got into that because I was very comfortable where I was. All throughout the 90s, especially, being a Vivid girl, I got royalties on every single film I did until they went to catalog, and they're like, we can't pay you royalty because we're not making that, so we'll cash you out per title. I did great on the road dancing. It's something that I was offered here and there. Like, you know, if I was dancing, a guy would be like, hey, I just paid so-and-so $500. You know, I'll give you $1,000. To me, it wasn't something that I chose to do. I have no ill feelings for girls that have, and they were probably smart. They made probably $10,000 a night. But it always worried me to knock on a stranger's door. I'd be the one that got busted by the cops. I never did it. Never.
What your sister, Carla, who asked me to the Sadie Hawkins dance in 1978, did she bring my name up ever? Or she kind of passed
all
that?
All the time.
The one that got away?
And you know what? She still says, if only. If only I was with him. You know what? You come up like maybe once a year. Somehow it'll be mentioned.
Christy, I have a question. What were your impressions, if any, of a young Adam Carolla at the time? Did you know him well? Did you just know of him?
You know what? He was 2 years older in elementary school. My sister knew him better than I did. He Yeah, I knew him, but, like, we never hung out. I'd see him at parties in high school. He was with Ray Olhoffer and Ron Dolan.
The Romeos.
And, you know, like, we... What?
The Heartbreakers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The original Lotharios.
The fellows you mentioned.
Is Carla still around? Is she in town? Oh, God.
She's not going to dignify that with an answer.
What the hell is with the phones? All right, okay. Hold on. Let me do a read, and we'll see if we can... I'll put her on hold. And we'll see if,
she's on hold.
She's on hold.
Well, at least the line is. Yeah.
Well, line 3 is blinking, but what does that mean?
It means on hold.
Oh, but she says she's on line 4.
Yeah, not line 3.
Oh, okay. No. All right, let me hit MedMen. The new normal is here. Have you seen it? Brought to life in a short film that only runs 2 minutes long. The new normal seeks to leave behind 80 years of unjust prohibition in favor of a safer, happier world. It depicts a product that once drove good people to the black market as one creating a global market. New era is here, and you can watch a very interesting, very well done, let's see.
Mini film,
that's right. Done by Spike Jones. You can check it out. Go to and watch it now. Experience the new normal at medmen.com. It's artfully made. And again, it's only about 120 seconds long, 2 minutes long. New normal. That's at medmen.com. Medmen.com. All right. Is Christy on 4 again? Christy?
Why does it keep hanging up? I am not moving.
It's because I'm fascinated in the topics, and that's what it does to me.
The phone lines are burning over there.
So you grew up up in Laurelwood, right? In the hills?
Yes.
And
actually, not until I was in Walter Reed in middle school. Before that, we were in the flats by our elementary school. And then after that, my mom got married to her third husband, and we moved up to the big time, baby.
And
so, yeah.
For you, like, I remember once talking to you, and you said, oh, I would call up Ron Jeremy and just have sex just because, like, on the off nights.
Ron Jeremy and I would fudge around on off days. There were a few of the stars that I would, you know, bring home, and we'd have even better sex in our personal life because you didn't have to, like, throw your leg over your ear so the camera could get in there. You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely a difference.
Right.
You don't have to open up for the camera. And you know what? In my personal life, I don't have to wear high heels in bed. I could, but I don't have to.
Would you ever have relationships with any of those guys?
No. God, no. No.
But you would have you'd have freebie sex off camera.
Absolutely. About a half a dozen, you know, were going in the 80s, and then, you know, the new crop came in the 90s when I came back after 4 years. And it was just fun. It was just this fun, free, loving group of people.
Did you find that after being with a professional that it was a little boring? The game had slowed down a little when you would be with a non-professional?
Not at all.
Mm.
Nope. Not at all. It's, you know, and to be honest with you, and I say this on my Vivid show, my radio show, I like the average size guy, if you know what I mean, down below in the midsection. I like the average 5 to 7. The porn dicks are amazing, and they're great for a scene or for a night, but not something that you'd want every day, for me at least.
Yeah, me neither.
I like an average size guy. They're fun, though. They're great. But no, being on film never jaded me in my personal life at all.
Mm.
Although no one could top a Peter Northlode. I'll give Peter that. No one could come near that. That
God
was, like,
him.
Unbelievable.
Did you, when you took your 4 years off, why did you take your 4 years off, and then why did you return after the 4 years?
You know, when I got in the business when I was 18, I worked every day for 8.5 months. Like, maybe I had a day off. I mean, I was working double time. It was like, sometimes I literally would. I'd work in the morning for one company, and then later on that night work for another, because it was the onset of VHS tape. And they couldn't get enough girls to do these films because, you know, I mean, no, it wasn't, you know, glamorous or considered cool back in the 80s. And it was slightly illegal. And so there was so much work that I was working every day, whether it was a box cover shoot or a film or a wraparound footage or a magazine layout or blah, 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 that finally after like 8.5 months, I was exhausted. I was exhausted from so much sex. And I think I had a boyfriend, and, you know, I want you to quit, blah, 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 you know. And then I started working for my dad. My boyfriend and I, of course, we, you know, split up. And I never quit because I didn't like the business. I quit because I just needed to kind of, like, get my head together, too. Like, at the time, I wasn't talking to my family, and I got myself in therapy. I called my dad after, like, a year of not talking to him. We reconnected. I was going to therapy, like, 4 times a week because I thought, I'm not going to be one of those, you know, those victims out there. And, oh, it'll ruin my life, blah, blah, blah. But I never disliked the business. I just, for my dad, worked for him for 4 years. And then one day, I was like, God, I miss making films. Wouldn't it be funny if I made a comeback? And I made some calls to companies, and they're like, oh, my God, we'll take you, blah, blah, and you sign a contract, and you get royalties, and everyone still loves you. Your tapes sell so well, and da-da. And then I went to Vivid and became a Vivid girl for the next 10 years and had the time of my life.
Last question for you. With us not being able to ever foresee all this material on the internet, every one of these movies that you've ever been in is now just accessible and it's free. Is there any thought to or attempt to get some, I mean, there's music versions of this, royalties,
catalogs,
getting paid, essentially saying you can't take this material, throw it up on your website, profit off it and not cut us in. Is something going on in that department?
Some girls are, they got a union together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Wild West out there. You can't, how do you get a royalty on a free scene out there? I mean, it's almost impossible to wrangle it. I was in it at the most perfect time with companies like Vivid that cared about us and that gave some of us royalties. Right now, you're chasing a dream thinking that you're going to get royalties, and it's just, the girls will never be cohesive. It's too much, it's too transient these days.
Well,
many girls.
Hold on a second. I just want to talk about older, like just stuff from the 80s and the 90s. Like, I'm going to float this. You tell me what you think. Your industry, pornography, has a stigma attached to it. Politicians don't want to get in and fight for porn stars and things like that. You know what
Not
I mean?
Most politicians.
Most. Well, they like to have sex with porn
right.
stars, but that would be on record.
Not at the pulpit.
I'm introducing a bill where these people get paid. When it comes to something like music, that's easy. Everyone gets behind it. This guy is a creator. He should be compensated. You're stealing his art. It's the same thing to me. It's just material that somebody has that's not theirs. If this was a subject other than pornography, do you think we could get this done? If this was television?
Absolutely. We're like the dirty little Hollywood secret that no one really wants to get involved with unless it's one-on-one in a hotel room, if you catch my drift. But no one's going to stand up for
Hold
the
on.
Adult
I don't
business.
Know what you speak. I'm confused. Yes. Right. So if this was the Writers Guild, the Writers Guild would just go, you can't show these old episodes of Everyone Loves Raymond from the 90s and not, you know, there'd be tons and tons. If this was at whatever Screen Actors, Writers Guild, Producers Guild, like and politicians in the world. The population would get behind them. You're saying they're not going to get behind you guys.
No, I don't. I've never seen it. I've never seen it in my 35 years in the business, and I bet I will not ever see it. Girls are trying to get these unions together. They aren't getting far, though, because it's the girls come and go so fast. So the cohesiveness of this group is just, it's like a vase with holes all
right.
in it. The water just,
but
you know,
Christy, to be clear, I'm still talking about the 80s and 90s stuff, not what's going on today.
What? I'm not going to go chasing it. My life is too busy, and I'm very happy on radio from Sirius XM and You know what? If someone wants, right. I never owned my rights to the '80s anyway. So what do I care? Vivid owns the rights to my Vivid stuff.
I know a guy. I know a guy who can get directly to Mitt Romney.
Okay,
I'll see if I can blow a call into him. We'll make it a cause
celeb. Yes.
Really get his voice in the mic.
John will re-record one of his hits.
Get Mitt behind it, and I think we can get this done.
Yeah.
Trump should be on board, too, I think.
Levon likes his porno.
I don't mean to be like Debbie Downer or Doomsday, but...
That's a good way to end.
Just tell her it's fine. It's the fifth time her fucking phone has dropped off. I didn't want to be a douche, but I felt like I was telling her all this archival stuff, and she kept saying it's tough to get these girls unionize because they come and go so fast. But that's not what I...
No.
It's not about current day. I'm just meaning all the archival stuff.
That's pretty clear.
But I think that...
thought it was clear.
It was. But I think...
Because I was talking about her, that she was in the archival stuff.
Like her old stuff.
But I'm not sure if she thought I was talking about now.
I think she may have.
All right. Let's see. All right.
In a lot of ways, she sounds like you, though. She said, you know, I'm you know, whatever, getting my life in a different direction because I don't want to be a victim. Oh, who has time to chase down royalties? I'm too busy with, you know, being successful right now. Like, good for her.
I like all that stuff, and I like the non-victim mentality. And if you want to check out her radio show, the Christy Canyon Show, every day on SiriusXM, Vivid Radio Show, and SiriusXM Vivid Radio Show every day. Yeah, ChristyCanyon.com is where you go. All right.
Feel good to check that box?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
But you're right. I'm right. This stuff...
I agree.
If this was the writers' union or guild or directors' guild, they'd just be going after it and they'd be marching politicians and everything else, right? No. No one wants to touch this one.
No, absolutely not. And the people who do have the rights, like Vivid or whoever, or if the rights are not out there, this stuff gets uploaded freely, I would imagine, to any number of websites. So who's going to do the legwork?
All I'm saying is there's many instances of art being sort of ripped off and monetized, and many instances of those people then being compensated with class action lawsuits, and the Congress gets involved and everything else. It's so funny that everything's exactly the same, but the subject is different. There's no real difference between the intellectual property for a sitcom or porno or music. It's just something somebody created a long time ago. Somebody else is now profiting off it. The people created in the past need to be compensated for that. But because the subject matter is so screwed up, they don't want to get, politicians don't want to get near it.
Pay your fair share, you porn.
All right. Autumn.
Hello.
How long you been in the industry?
Hey.
In the ball pulling industry.
Mike says that's funny. Autumn, from Portland, you want to be the ball puller on Saturday night?
We are having trouble.
It's definitely us.
Yeah. That's never happened before.
All right.
Yeah, it's gone.
I say let her do it.
Just show up, Autumn.
Yeah.
There's no one there.
I don't know. We get a lot of like the internet's down. I think that internet. Remember I was telling you guys the best job in the world, veterinarian? Cuz you go, look, it's going to be about 13K, maybe 17K to do the skin graft. We'll see if we can get the cancer, but we never know.
No promises.
No promises. Okay.
We'll try our best.
Yeah.
That's all we can do.
Please pay first.
I feel like the version of that is internet.
No.
That's internet. Like, you can't really yell at anyone or point any fingers because you just go, internet's down. It's real spotty. Like, that's act of God. Like, there's
it's
no one
majeure.
Person you can do, talk to anybody about the internet about. All right, we'll try to make this quick. Autumn?
Hello.
Hi, Guy. Pulling balls, Sunday, Saturday night, late show.
Yes, I would love to do that.
All right. You're in because the internet is out.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Give out your phone number quick.
Yay,
hi, Autumn.
Come up on stage.
Nice to talk to you in real life.
Be a delight. We'll have fun with that.
I'm right
She's
here in the
be
same
great.
Room. The same room.
All right. That is Portland. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. I think the two early shows, as so often the case, are sold out. There may be some tickets left to the late shows, so you guys can come out.
Late show's always better.
Yeah, this it's coming up this Friday, this Saturday. Also, Canyon, the Canyon, by the way, not the Canyon Club, the Canyon, Montclair, Pasadena, Gore Hills, that'll be playing the following weekend, July 26th, 27th, 28th. Ooh. And we'll figure that one out. Adam Ray will be with me as well. I'm just doing one show a night. I'm not getting on an airplane. Should be fine. All right. Let's see. Well, it's a little redundant booking today. Charlie Kirk is here.
Oh, Christy Canyon, more about Charlie this? Kirk.
We will take ourselves a break. Max Pat, did we find Prager in his congressional testimony?
He's not gone up yet.
Really?
It's just been one guy talking this entire time.
What's he doing? Wow.
Someone's filibustering. Yeah. He's, Mr. Smith style.
He's been called in front of Congress to talk about like censorship and what's going on the internet and all this PragerU stuff.
Two of you, we can't keep you out of D.C.
You know, it's funny. You know, there. You hear about douchebags like in Hollywood, and you just go, I can't believe that guy would say this or do that or tell him I won't do, like, you know, it's that kind of thing where it's like, I don't know, you hear these stories about, like, there's one actor and he's short, and then they go, would you like to be paired with this other actor? And that guy goes, no, that guy's tall. Mm-hmm. You have to find someone who's shorter than me. And you go, Jesus Christ.
It's a bit diva-ish.
We're doing this movie. I didn't even answer, but we're with this email. But we're doing this movie, No Safe Spaces. We're done with the movie, but at the last second, Dennis Prager got called up to speak in front of Congress. I spoke in front of Congress, and it's in the movie. The producers of the movie sent me an email and said, Dennis is speaking in front of Congress. And I said, oh, are you going to put that in the movie? Like, you're going to reopen the movie and shoot it, and then at a late in the game put it in?
Especially
and the guy wrote back, is that okay with you? And I thought, I don't even know why you're asking.
Steal my thunder.
Why would not be okay?
Well, because
there are
douchebags in Hollywood that go, I want to be the only one who's in front of Congress in this movie.
Right.
It's a billing. You know, I want my name first in the billing and stuff. There's more of that than you would anticipate in this town. Sadly, and he is a producer for 30 years. So he is used to finding people that are douchebags and pissed off. And I didn't say it was okay. Right. And blah, 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 blah. All right. Let's take ourselves a quick break. Charlie Kirk is here. He's conservative and he's young. Dylan is conservative and he's young. And we're going to bring up. Huh?
Dylan is not conservative.
He's liberal.
Oh, sorry. I screwed that up. He's liberal and he's young. I knew I had one of those. So we picked out three topics. I told Dylan because I thought he'd be at a little disadvantage here. You pick out three subjects that you feel comfortable with, and you take the liberal side. Charlie will take the conservative side, and we'll see what light we can shed on that after this.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from HDS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for the third month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month's shipment includes a bottle of Vinny's Pure Vitamin Ultra Salt Hangover Cure. Four, count them, four sample bags of Country Archer Jerky, including original turkey, mango habanero, and teriyaki. An Olga Cha-Cha-Cha Blue Apron. And, of course, a bottle of your choice. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry. We will sell out.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Wood County, Ohio. Highway patrol officers pulled over two men in a Ford F-150 for speeding. Police found a loaded handgun and over 4 pounds of cocaine disguised as Lunchables. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, we're back with Charlie Kirk, founder and president of Turning Point USA. He's got a podcast, The Charlie Kirk Show, Tuesdays and Thursdays on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. Good to see you, Charlie Kirk. Yeah,
thanks for having me. Big fan.
Oh, thanks. Charlie is the founder of Turning Point USA. You did not go to college?
That's right. I got distracted along the way.
It's weird because I always feel like everyone who finds is a founder of something went to college at some, or at least something political, went to college and then found it on the college campus. Mm-hmm. So how did your path work?
It's an unusual one. My whole lifelong kind of ambition was I wanted to go to West Point. I ended up not working out when I was in high school and getting denied. Ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me. And I kind of turned to my parents and I said, I want to take 6 months off before entering college to start an organization to try to save our generation from what I thought it was going in the wrong direction. And it's been a long 6 months, as I like to say. It's been 7 years. Learned a lot, and it's really now grown to 1,400 high school and college campuses across the country. And I guess the great irony of it, Adam, is you can start a college organization without actually going to college. So that's...
I feel... My feeling with most stuff is it is created through something else. So I've always said the reason the Octagon and UFC is so popular is because we've gotten so soft and so snowflakey on one side that it literally gave birth to this thing. My feeling on guys like you and Ben Shapiro having so much success and other names in that world on the right side of the aisle, conservatives, having so much success so fast were so many of the crazy ideas that were coming from the hard left actually created an industry. Like when we lived in the middle, I guess it's like a pendulum. It's like whenever the pendulum's sort of in the middle, we don't need we don't need that swing to the right. When it gets too far out to the left, then it swings out and turns guys like you and Shapiro and other guys like that into household names in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, I was going to use the word pendulum. That's exactly right. I don't believe I'm saying anything that controversial or bombastic when I go to these campuses, but it's treated as such. And there's this uproar and there's controversy that really doesn't exist that's built around it. And I would like to think the positions I have are reasonable and that are able to build consensus. But you said it best. It's the Overton window. The goalposts have moved, where now somebody like myself or Shapiro and these great, you know, talkers and kind of writers and thinkers of this time that are kind of in the more younger demographic are able to accelerate onto the stage quite quickly as a reaction to something else. And you see the culture swing one way in the wrong direction, and something that might not have seemed so radical 20 or 30 years ago gets treated, I think, incorrectly at times, but also is able to gain a tremendous amount of popularity.
Where does the pendulum go from here? Because when you started the organization, you were pushing against something, right? You were the underdog, you were the up-and-comer, the whatever. Now that the pendulum sits firmly in your court, you know what I mean? Where does it go from?
Somewhat.
Here?
I mean, on
somewhat. You have the presidency.
Well, not college campuses. I mean, we're
true.
Highly focused on the culture on college campuses. We're definitely happy with, obviously, the current president and what he's achieving, what he's doing. However, the culture on college campuses have worsened since he got inaugurated. They've become more intolerant. Students have become much softer. Anti-Americanism is on the rise. Freedom of speech is completely under assault. Adam and I are both in the documentary No Safe Spaces, where a lot of this is kind of chronicled and cataloged in ways that I encourage everyone to check it out, because it's so stunning what some of these campuses are now, how would they become? And they're not marketplaces of ideas or freedom or areas where freedom of expression is embraced.
Well, for me, doing the movie and keeping an eye on things, when it gets in any culture and any time of any civilization, when it hits its critical mass part is when there's such thing as a sort of shark feeding frenzy, where there's like a dead whale and it's floating out at sea and a bunch of sharks get around it and they get into like a feeding frenzy, which is to be expected when you got that much protein floating around in the sea. But at some point, the sharks will get so frenzied that they start biting each other, not the whale. And so when you take these guys, like on the Evergreen campus, and the Weinstein, the professor, he rides his bike in. He's got his little Jufro. He's super liberal. And he rides his mountain bike to take this guy. When that guy's running serpentine, being chased by an angry mob who says he's not welcome on campus, that's the sharks biting each other. That's mm-hmm. the turning point. That's where the sharks have jumped the shark. That's where it's no, we're now starting to eat our own, which it's not good for the movement. It's probably good if you're Charlie Kirk. I mean, but it's not good if you're on the left side of the aisle where we're calling Joe Biden a racist, but the same people that are calling Donald Trump a racist are calling Joe Biden a racist, or anyone who disagrees with them on their side of the aisle a racist. That's when the sharks are biting the sharks. Mm-hmm. I assume this is all going to kind of get sorted out as we head toward the election, because at this point, it's Joe Biden claiming he's not a racist. Joe Biden.
Yeah, I don't see it self-correcting before the election. I think it's only going to be exacerbated.
Oh, and well, but it'll have to. Something will have to come out of the other side
at some point. Yeah, and where that voice of reason will stand up and start to at least push back a little bit. I mean, the opposite of what Donald Trump does is not always the correct thing for a leftist position. I think that's a reasonable position to have. And it seems as if whatever he says, they must believe the opposite, and that is a really bad equation to build the party around.
I agree. I think pick and choose the stuff you want to do and do it, and some of it may be versions of what Donald Trump is doing, but that's going to happen in any political forum. You're always going to have somebody say, I want to lower taxes, or I want to beef up the border, or I want to do something for schooling, or you take infrastructure. I want to do something for infrastructure. You can go, I agree with my opponent across the aisle. We should sturdy up these bridges. You can do that. And then you can go, here's how I'd like to do it. You don't have to knee jerk disagree with everything, because I think what you're going to do when you do that, you're in danger of losing votes, because I think the American people go, I disagree with Trump about X, Y, and Z, but I do agree with him on P, D, and Q. And if you're on the other side of the aisle, figure out which ones they agree with, run on that, and then add your own X, Y, and Z.
Our whole thesis is, where does this start? It starts at the universities. Where does it start where you can't possibly agree with a conservative, or you can't hear the other side? I mean, welcome to American colleges, where other ideas are rejected wholeheartedly, where speakers like myself and Shapiro are kicked off campus or disallowed from speaking altogether. Or the Evergreen example is a perfect one, where you have someone who's on the left, Weinstein, who is far from a right winger, literally get chased around off campus and get fired because he has a position that wasn't as radical as the monolithic administrative, left-wing viewpoint. So,
well, his interview in No Safe Spaces was sort of rattling, because first off, him and his wife look like central casting kind of liberal hippies. Like, is that they fit the bill. You know what I mean? They didn't look like Chuck Heston. They weren't sitting there cleaning a gun with a crew cut.
A little nebbish, as we say.
They look that way. Evergreen, my God, what I've learned most from watching the No Safe Spaces is I want to go to Evergreen and work as a fucking janitor. It's the greatest looking college. It's like nestled amongst the pines. He's riding his mountain bike to work every day. It's like, this is the sweetest. I mean, this guy is no right winger. And he's simply explaining that he went to his class on the day. So there was the day where
no white people did.
No, yeah, the black students stayed home, stayed away from campus on one day. But it's some, and he'd been teaching there for a number of years and was fine with that. All right, on this day in April, there are no black students, and that's fine. And then the next year, I mean, after 10 years of that, or X amount of years of that, they said, oh, by the way, this year, no white people are showing up. You know, we're not going to be there, and you can't be there either. And he...
The lonely Asian kid.
They may have been grandfathered or papa-soned in. he, as a classic liberal, not a leftist, but a liberal, said, wait a minute, that's kind of racist, and I'm doing my job, and I'm just going to show up, because that's it. Now you're morphing this into a different form of oppression. So he showed up, and when he showed up, all hell broke loose. And the next thing you know, he was basically barricaded in his class and like essentially running for his life. And the next day, he was like showing up. People were following him, and the cops were saying, like, we can't help you. Get out of there. Like, it's a little bit crazy when you think of what started the whole thing. This wasn't... I get the part where the white cop unloads the clip on the black teen who didn't have a gun on him, and the community's going, this is a liberal college and a liberal professor, been there for a number of years, simply showing up to teach on a day. And for that, he's physically was in danger. It's a crazy, and again, that's jumping the shark. And I would argue it's hurting the cause. Whatever the cause is, it's not helping the cause.
Cannibalizing him.
And you're taking one of your own who is squarely in your corner for all history. This guy's been a bleeding heart liberal for 40 years, and now you pushed him out of your group.
That's it. That's exactly it. That's actually something, Charlie, I was wondering about sort of your community, because I've been saying this for a long time, and I know Adam has, and I've been agreeing as well, that there's something wrong with the left that is now deciding, you ally, you're not our ally anymore. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. You're not with us anymore. Mm-hmm. People who are trying to support, people are trying to be there and, you know, support other people. I'm wondering on sort of that other side, is that an issue? Is it picking and choosing allies?
Not as much. I mean, I think we can say we've done anything but that. I mean, I'll go around on a college campus speaking tour with Dave Rubin, and Dave's
great.
He calls himself a liberal. I don't know if he is or not, but I think he's more to the center right than others. But we don't agree on every issue. We actually disagree on some big issues, but I'll literally go on a campus tour with him. And we have a rule at every single campus event that I do, which is if you disagree, you go straight to the front of the line and you ask the first question. And then the person after that better be another disagreement. We only want to hear about people that disagree. And if there's no one that disagrees, we try to extract it from the audience and give people the kind of the permission and the courage to get to the front of the line. And then at the end of the event, I always ask the same question. I've done over 50 of these. When a liberal came and spoke on campus, did they ask conservatives to go to the front of the line? Never. Never. And so the guiding thesis at the left, not liberals, but leftists, hate the idea that there are other ideas, that they want to be the only voice in the room, not want to have a whole marketplace of ideas. And there is a difference between leftists and liberals. I want to make that distinction. So.
Yeah, Dave Rubin, the idea that you could have any issues with a guy like Dave Rubin is insane. And if you, that lets me know you're not a reasonable person, because I find him to be amongst the most reasonable human beings. And anybody, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you just can't have a problem with Dave Rubin. And a good soul. Yeah. There was this Ayanna Pressley clip that you can look for, Max, about it, but she was like, we need black voices to be black, and we're tired of black faces that aren't giving black voices. Like,
most unbelievable.
She was given this whole speech about, if you're black, you better be black like we want you to be black, and if you're brown, you better be brown how we want you to be brown. No more tolerance for basically human beings who disagree with us. You're out. Especially if you're black or brown or you're gay. So Dave Rubin is gay, and I think he's married.
He is married.
And he disagrees with Ayanna Pressley, so he's out? He is out.
Yeah, I was going to say,
you're out. No. But what I'm saying is, hold on. I thought, isn't there tolerance? Why can't he disagree with you? And does anybody...
All viewpoints, the rainbow, everyone's invited.
Right. Here's what always drives me nuts. Has anyone ever thought about how insanely pompous it is to take a microphone and to get behind a microphone and go, I'm tolerant and I welcome all viewpoints, but if you're not down with my viewpoint, you are out. Like, really? I know we all kind of think that in a weird way. Like, we have a think like, I love lasagna. And then you go, I don't care for lasagna. And I go, what the fuck is wrong with this?
It's like, you're a lying idiot. I don't like what you don't like.
All right, I'm not going out to Italian with you. Yeah. But I don't yell at you. No,
Did I bring that viewpoint in here?
Only when it comes to tacos.
I'm bringing a pan of Stouffer's.
Says the guy who screams about tacos at the top of his lungs.
You know, you agreed with me anyway. How dare you? So we'll see if we can find that clip. Dylan is going to come in. It was just a couple days ago, Max Zapata. I think it was her explaining. It's scary talk in that it's you're with us or you're against us, and it's a kind of a it starts bleeding into religion, which is as an atheist, when somebody says, look, you're either down with Christ or you're against him. And I'm like, how about a third option where I just get along, take care of my kids and pay my tax? No, there's elements of that in Islam. Like, hey, I'm not in that. Well, then you must be destroyed. Like, it's
you have to accept Jesus Christ as your savior to get into heaven.
Right. My feeling is
get that drop
with me or against me. But there's a third option, which is somebody disagrees with me. Is that OK, Your Highness? Are we allowed to just disagree with you? It's so pompous. It's insane. The second most pompous and insane thought ever is I disagree with that person saying I must get them removed from their job. They're no longer allowed to work.
This is happening in real time. I mean, it's happening all over our culture. I mean, the left has become experts at product boycotts of anyone they disagree with. Tucker Carlson's a great example of this on Fox News. I mean, he has some different opinions. You might agree with him or disagree with him, but the amount of advertiser boycotts that have been enacted by the left in the last couple of weeks, just because they disagree with what he has to say, is remarkable. Laura Ingraham, who has a podcast on Podcast One, she's been subject to boycotts of the exact same nature. People on the right, we don't do that. When people like Don Lemon says Antifa is a great organization that's fighting for terrific things. Meanwhile, they're beating the crap out of journalists up in Portland. I mean, they don't lose advertisers, there's only one side that's tolerant in this conversation.
Well, Ben Shapiro always brings up this point, which is, off the top of my head, Ring doorbell advertises on Ben Shapiro. And it advertises on Don Lemon's show. They don't care. They just want to spread their product out to a diverse group. And it makes sense if you're doing something like, survival kits and powdered eggs, that may be a little more Hannity. But if you're trying to sell back stretchers or Ring doorbells or
gold
or gold's a little more.
You're
trying to do Blue Apron. You're just doing both.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is like, you don't have to get Ring doorbell to boycott Ben Shapiro. Ring doorbell does Ben Shapiro, but then he also does. They do Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, so just in let them interest.
Yeah, let them just advertise where they want to advertise, and the people that are watching on either one of those entities may or may not get a Ring doorbell. No. What? Why? Seems very narcissistic to announce Ring doorbell. You may advertise with this gal, Rachel Maddow, because I approve of what she says, but not him because I disapprove of what he says. What do we have on there? Oh, there's a tape of her saying it, or recording of her saying it, Max Pata. Sorry. All right. Let's see. Do we have, well, let me take care. She was at the Netroots Nation conference, I guess on Saturday. We're talking about Ayanna Pressley, and she, Congresswoman, what is her? Oh, you would know, Charlie, right?
Yeah, she's a congresswoman. I don't remember actually where she's from.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Yeah, she was a former Boston City Council member.
So you can find a audio or video of that. I've seen a video of it. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge with your questions for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times,
fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic oil. You got a question, Max Pata?
Yes, I do. Onions and Olives 31 on Instagram wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge, if you had the opportunity to do just one of the following races, which would you choose? 24 Hours of Le Mans, Monaco Grand Prix, Indy 500, or Daytona 500? Hashtag get it on.
Ooh. All right. Well, get rid of the Daytona 500. That's stock cars. Now, obviously, Indianapolis 500 is insane. But because of my cars and my history, Monaco F1 race, crazy, going through the streets of Monaco and through the tunnel and everything, and just literally with the bay on one side and Princess whoever, Caroline up in the balcony. But very intense. It's between that and the 24 hours of Le Mans. And I'll go 24 hours of Le Mans because that's a bucket list item for me. And since I have Paul Newman's car that won its class in 24 hours of Le Mans in 1979, I will put that on there. They have a Petit Le Mans, and they have a revival Le Mans, which you can enter every 2 years at Le Mans in your vintage Le Mans car, which I'll be shooting for.
What makes it petite? Is it 12 hours?
I think the way they do it, and it's kind of interesting, it's the 24 hours of Le Mans. There might be five or six different run group classes, and the race is 24 hours, but you go out and race in your run group for an hour. Mm-hmm. Then you come back and the other four or five groups run, and then you get back in your car 5 hours later and do another hour.
Well, rest and refresh.
Right. So it takes place over the course of 24 hours, but you don't have to run for 24 hours straight, which is tough on you. It's tough on the machinery.
Yeah.
And some of these cars are worth $50 million, so they don't want to break them as much.
Take it easy.
You have the Ayanna Pressley clip, which talking about Brown being Brown.
If you are not prepared to come to that table and to represent that voice, don't come. Because we don't need any more brown faces that don't want to be a brown voice. We don't need black faces that don't want to be a black voice. We don't need Muslims that don't want to be a Muslim voice. We don't need queers that don't want to be a queer voice. And if you're worried about being marginalized and stereotyped, please don't even show up. Because we need you to represent that voice.
All right. Well, Dave Rubin, you're out, Bucky. You ain't doing that voice.
And Candace Owens, she's out.
Candace Owens is definitely out. Yeah. It's interesting
But approach. I mean, I'm going to say, what an unbelievably racist thing to say, that you can only have one viewpoint if you're a specific skin color.
It is quietly pretty racist, and if you did that with white people, it would be considered insanely racist. So I don't get why people say that so freely, but I guess that's the time we're living in.
With no recourse.
Well, it is interesting that many of the concepts of racism are racist. Like when you're calling somebody a racist because you're calling a black guy basically not black because he doesn't think like you think. That's a pretty racist statement to say. To say Candace Owens is not a real black person. It's kind of it's at least closed-minded, I would say.
It's totally, the textbook definition of racism is prejudice or discrimination based on the color of somebody's skin or their racial heritage. And that's exactly what she was doing. She said that if you don't think the way, it's the essence of what she was saying, we don't need black people to not be a black voice, which she's saying black voice is only the progressive voice, that there's no other voice except what she believes. And that's pretty dangerous and troubling.
I agree. All right. Do we have Dylan out there? We have our topics, abortion, gun control, and energy. Those are the topics I told Dylan to pick.
That's good.
Charlie.
A little harder.
Charlie probably does a lot of this for a living, so I told Dylan.
Should we take a break or just go right into it?
Go right in.
Go right into it. According to me, I told Dylan, you pick the subject, pick ones you're comfortable with, and I'll give you the night to think about it. And we'll tell him to Charlie when he gets here.
Yeah. So I've had 35 second head notice. Well, actually, more than that. 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Speak about this shit every day.
It's all silly. The whole thing's silly.
All right. Listen. Don't walk your points back before you make them. Make your points. We'll hit abortion so heavy. Let's hit energy first, Max.
I want to hit abortion.
Well, I'd like to punch abortion too.
All right.
But I said, I said abortion is so heavy. Let's start with energy.
Okay. Strong finish with abortion.
And the abortion will be the dessert.
My God.
So we'll start, Max Zapata, with the energy. I'll give you, I don't know, we'll give 2 minutes. Make your statement on energy. And would you like to go first or second, or Charlie,
I would like to deliver a quick preface. I know that I'm not the greatest mouthpiece for the liberal spectrum of ideology because I work in podcasts and smoke a fair amount of pot. I mean, he's a media-trained youth activist. So,
we get it.
Okay.
Anyway. We know what we're dealing with, Dylan.
Right.
So,
it's almost like I've been set up to fail.
Almost. I asked Adam that yesterday, but he says no. So at Turning Point, you guys are, I don't want to say in love with fossil fuels, but you're an advocate of fossil fuels. I'm wondering, for me, I feel like that industry's stranglehold on our progress forward is really, really damaging. I'd like to see us transition to cleaner energy way faster, because to me it's a win-win. We get out of the Middle East. There's tons of new job opportunities if we start these new industries. Who knows? Maybe we can be a world leader in this stuff. And the jobs don't get outsourced. They're all here. I don't know why we don't expedite this process, and I don't know where you stand on how fast we should get there.
Cleaner energy, like solar, wind.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm just trying to help you
along.
All right.
Well, first of all, the United States is now the number one net exporter of natural gas and oil in the world for the first time ever. That should be applauded and appreciated. The experiment with wind and solar has had some successes and some huge failures. I mean, Solyndra was probably one of the most evident that you could remember in the last couple of years. That was $500 million of government subsidies put towards solar.
Duh.
That was a total and complete failure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm not against the idea of wind and solar at all. I would just want to see how it could be economical. There are certain grids where that can be done with solar. Good luck doing that in New Hampshire in January. I mean, fossil fuels and the war on fossil fuels on the left is really rooted in the idea that they don't like the fact that fossil fuel companies predominantly donate to conservatives. That's really what it's all about.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, that's pretty absurd.
Well, then let's talk about
it's
that.
It's finite.
Explain how that works.
Well, let's talk about it. Then what is the war on fossil fuels
it's
about?
It's damaging to the planet. It's finite. We're going to run out of it.
Let's break that apart. Yeah. How is natural gas not sustainable? We have enough natural gas for the next 550 years, and we're only going to become more efficient using it, and we haven't even discovered probably 10% of the natural gas depositories in America.
Where do we get the natural gas?
From the earth.
But where physically?
Do we get it in people's backyards?
From oceans, from places like the Permian Basin, like the Marcellus Shale, like the Balkan Shale, you name it.
I mean, you get it through fracking?
That's one way to extract natural gas, not the only way.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty popular way to extract it. I'm just saying
it's an efficient way to extract it.
Well, it's
so one of the arguments you made is to get out of the Middle East. Thanks to Donald Trump's deregulating the energy economy, we now no longer have to be dependent on Saudi Arabian, Iranian, or Middle Eastern oil. We now export more oil than we import. And oil, because of this, America is now in a much stronger foreign policy position than ever before. I would love to have us eventually get to a place where we don't need to extract any sort of minerals from the earth.
You think that we're in a very strong stance, or people have a strong opinion of us when it comes to foreign policy.
I think the world has never been more peaceful than it is today. That's a fact.
Okay.
Less people are dying because of civil war, famine, poverty, mass starvation today than any other place.
Yeah, but in terms of our standing, you know.
Yeah, our allies respect us, and our enemies fear us. Under Barack Obama, ISIS was on the march and taking more territory every single month. Iran had billions of dollars in sanctions.
Our allies respect us.
Yeah. Angela Merkel knows that she finally has to pay up for the hundreds of millions, billions of dollars of free military assistance we've given them throughout the years.
European heads of state are laughing at us. They do not respect him. They're laughing at him. So...
Let me just jump in for a second. I think what Dylan is talking about, one is a little more emotionally based, and one is a little more, I don't know, pragmatic, which is you think your stepdad's an asshole. Yes. do you clean your room, though? Like, do when you hear when he tells you to do something, do you do it? You might go, yes. Like, they may both be true. You may think he's an asshole, but you may get a clean room out of it. I think what Dylan is saying is the rest of the world is laughing at Trump. And what Charlie is saying is, yeah, but they're listening to him, or they're not doing, they're doing what he wants to do. Is that what you're saying?
A collection of failed European leaders, like Macron, who can't even control Parisians from rioting in the street every other day,
yep.
Or Angela Merkel, who's executed a complete takeover of Europe and has unsuccessfully assimilated a million Middle Eastern refugees into her country, they might be laughing at him, but their countries are a mess. Mm. And so, fine, failed leaders are laughing at Trump, but prime ministers like Abe or Modi that are getting reelected with 60 to 80% approval ratings, they're working with Donald Trump to make the world a safer, more peaceful place.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un's not laughing at him, Dylan.
Yeah. So Putin's not laughing at him.
Really good all right, point. So
but those are our enemies, though, and they're not
but they don't fear us. Under Barack Obama, we were closer towards nuclear conflict with North Korea than we ever remember. The stock market dropped 450 points 30 days before the end of Barack Obama's presidency because North Korea was testing missiles every 25 days. Now we're closer to conversations and ending the Korean War today than ever before. Isn't peace the objective of foreign policy? And it seems that that story is not always being told.
It feels easy to say that we're closer to nuclear warfare than ever before under Obama. I don't know how to fact check.
Let's look at the numbers.
It just doesn't seem right.
There were missile tests every 25 days under the last 2 years of the Barack Obama presidency. There has not been the same type of missile test since the Singapore summit when President Trump sat down with Kim Jong-un. Have they lived up to every part of the deal?
Yeah.
No. But President Trump stepping into North Korea, the first U.S. president to do so, I think is a courageous thing, and it's closer to peace than ever before.
Do you think Obama should have gone over there and talked to him?
Yeah, I think you should never be afraid to talk to your enemies.
Should we?
He got a lot of flack for talking to enemies when he was president. But
well, Reagan talked to the Soviets, and that's what ended up ending the Cold War, sitting down with Gorbachev.
Let's put a button on energy.
I feel like we solved that. I feel like we solved energy.
Up top, everybody.
Energy is we're not exporting it in, so that's good. We're not reliant on these nations that we don't like, so that's good. I mean, in terms of cutting deals with them, we're still digging holes in the earth and the seafloor, which we don't want to do. Natural gas burns a lot cleaner than coal, and it seems to be pretty abundant. So that's a good thing. How to extract it in a safe way that doesn't hurt the environment is something to think about. Yeah. Last question then, nuclear, because that to me it's always the litmus test, which is if you do want a clean environment and you do want abundant energy and you don't want to punch holes in the ground and you don't want to rely on OPEC, then you do want nuclear, but so many people say they don't want any of that, don't want nuclear as well. Yeah. Dylan, where are you?
Nuclear, I mean, it seems like it's so crazy to think about the capabilities of it. It sounds like science fiction, like something out of Star Wars, but it's real, so we should probably figure it out as soon as we can. I just get really spooked by it because if anything goes wrong, it is so catastrophic. That you know, serious problems can happen. I mean, the Yellowtail.
Yeah, you get 19 Emmy nominations, Chernobyl.
Wonderful show, the Yellowtail that we're eating at Matsuhisa and places like that. I mean, it's just filled with radiation.
What do you got, Charlie? Last one.
I am a huge fan of nuclear. It's a good middle ground. It's sustainable. It could be built all across the American Southwest, and it could solve a lot of our energy problems. France is the great success story of nuclear. 70% of their energy grid is nuclear.
I think also what people don't realize is we are essentially, when we're thinking about nuclear in this country, it's like we're talking about cars. If we stopped building cars in 1970, they're dangerous and they pollute a lot and
Pinto,
they don't have crumple zones or airbags. Like, no, they do now. We just stopped.
Right.
We stopped our technology a long time ago. Chernobyl is old, crappy, everything.
Fukushima is not that old,
but what happened with Fukushima?
Those were different consequences.
Natural disaster.
Yeah.
Well, there was a tsunami, but it still wasn't piles and piles of dead people. It was a tsunami. But I think our version of nuclear is much different than early 70s, and I think we could do it in a much safer, more efficient way. Yes, Brian?
I was just going to say quickly, as someone who totally agrees with you guys about nuclear, I think, Charlie, the thing that a lot of us have a problem with fossil fuels isn't that the fossil fuel companies give money to whoever. The problem is practically, and I think you can probably agree with this, the more resources, just no pun intended, resources, money, whatever, that are put into, as we slide backwards into the world of fossil fuels and coal and the stuff that we're should be moving away from and moving towards more progressive, efficient things like nuclear, that robs resources that could be going into the into those experimental, let's get something else up and running. Like, you can say, like, like NASA, the moon landing was a huge waste of money, and we lost a lot of resources and spent too much money, but we landed on the moon. It was worthwhile. It will be ultimately worthwhile. It's kind of a waste of money now because we're chasing a lot of things that aren't working, but we'll get there.
Well, I think we should end all subsidies for both oil and gas and also wind and solar. I mean, so there's $38 billion in advantageous tax cuts towards fossil fuels. I don't think those should exist. I think you let the market sort itself out with very reasonable environmental protections, of many of which I do support.
And natural gas, I feel like natural gas gets dumped in with shale and coal and stuff like that.
It's really a separate bracket.
It's separate and it's cleaner, right?
Way cleaner. And we have more natural gas than any other discoverable natural gas. Again, it could change at any time.
I've always said the problem with natural gas has the word gas in it. Yeah. And that gas rubs many people wrong way. Fat work, no nukes. All right, now on to...
Let's solve something else.
Gun control.
Oh, great.
All right. You want to go first or second, Dylan? Let's see.
I'll go first.
Go first.
You know, I get why people like guns. And I get very frustrated with my party for talking crazy because it alienates a lot of people and it pisses me off. My dad's a Vietnam vet. He loves his guns. I like shooting guns. I mean, it's fun as hell. But I do not understand why we cannot pass universal background checks. I do not get why that isn't common sense law. Sure, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you probably disagree with universal background checks.
I mean, there is the Brady bill that was passed in the 80s that was supposed to do this. I don't necessarily, in like principle, it's not, it's, I don't disagree that much. I come from Illinois and they have really strict gun laws, way too strict, I think. But I don't necessarily disagree with a firearm owner identification card, which they have in Illinois. And other states that are super red, you know, criticize me when I say this. Again, I believe that when you start talking about certain restrictions on firearms, I think that that conversation starts to hit up against a wall. I don't believe in automatic machine guns. Those were outlawed in the mid-1930s because of the automatic weapons ban. But if you're talking about firearm owners having to go through some form of a check to who they sell for, that is the law in certain states.
Yeah.
It's the interpretation of some federal law. I don't find that much disagreement there. There's a lot of minutiae that could be back and forth. I had to go through background checks when I bought my firearms in Illinois, and I have plenty.
Well, why are 22% of sales still going through these loopholes where you don't have to get background checks?
Because the laws aren't being enforced. And I actually think they should be enforced. And so, for example, there's certain people, and people on my side disagree with this. I don't really don't care. There are certain people that just shouldn't own firearms. There just are. There are just some people that should not own firearms.
Yep.
And that's a position that doesn't win me – that wins me more enemies than friends on the conservative side.
Where are you guys with school shootings and ways to protect kids on campuses beside my TACROs?
That's a good idea.
Brian gets a strong assist with. It's a very good idea.
It's the best you're going to get around here.
I've been talking about my TACROs for a number of years and school shootings. You made a peanut butter cup out of it. I was running with a jar of peanut butter and a chocolate bar, and you tripped me.
Yep.
Okay? And for that, you're a hero?
I would say. No, you're right. Absurd.
Okay. So what do we do at schools, and where are we with folks being armed at schools above security? I think everyone can agree a couple security guys at the front gate with guns is good, but beyond that, what do you guys take on that?
I have mixed feelings about arming teachers, just because some teachers don't want to be armed, quite honestly. But I think if you're a veteran or you can prove that you can use a firearm and you want to have a firearm, I have no principal problem with that. And I do think that there should be armed school resource officers in the school to be able to protect students. That's not an absolute solution. There was one in Parkland who ended up being a complete coward.
Well, I got to jump in here. Everybody really realize when you say, like, well, if we had this guy, then that wouldn't happen. Oh, no, there's a whole bunch of variables between the shit going down and the 47-year-old guy who's mortally obese throwing himself in the harm's way of bullets. He can stand outside of that hallway and just wait for backup in perpetuity.
You guys are 100% right. There's also the logic problem of if you arm 10 teachers, arm as many as you want, the logic problem is that almost 100% of the shooters who go into the schools expect to die.
It's how I think sadly what it's come down to is not the armed person is going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Because they have the element of surprise.
Agreed.
We cannot shoot them preemptively, although it would be great.
Right.
But it's about I know the LA Times editorial staff disagrees with this wild concept, but it's about numbers. It's how long do they get to shoot at people
before bullets start
coming their way. And if we let them go until the cop, the SWAT team show up, then we have 18 people dead. If somebody returns fire post-haste or pretty immediately, then maybe three people are dead, and that's all it is.
And look, I'm going to say something that you might agree with. I think a direct correlation with all these school shootings, we over-medicate our children. I think we over-medicate our children at far too young of an age. The one common denominator of a lot of these school shootings is they were on antidepressants and very, very complicated, dangerous medication from a young age.
Yeah.
And I blame the pharmaceutical companies for pushing these drugs in our kids.
Go take a walk.
I agree.
Just take a walk.
Take a hike. Mm-hmm. All right. Last and most controversial, abortion.
I don't know why we're still talking about it. I don't mean to be offensive or anything.
Not offending me.
We kind of, I thought we figured out this out in the 70s. I feel like the rhetoric gets ramped up around election cycles to kind of mobilize a certain part of the base. But do you think that Roe v. Wade should be overturned?
Yes. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
When does life begin?
My wife was raised Catholic. We've had the conversation before. If she was ever to get pregnant, she would not want to abort the kid. And that's her call, and we wouldn't do it. I can see where people come down on both sides. I completely get that you think that it begins, you know, right when the egg gets fertilized. I completely understand that. I also think that, you know, the Republican ideology is – and the Democrat ideology kind of flips here because Republicans think that freedom of choice kind of works things out, except for this specific issue where I don't know if you're for making it federally illegal, but you guys do want to kind of regulate people's choice here, whereas Democrats
Why do you think we want to do that?
Because you think that it's murder.
Well, I just want to clear something up. Dylan, can you tell us what your take is on when life begins?
I'm not sure.
You ever thought about it?
It's
a tough question. I'm just saying, I have thoughts about it too, and they waffle a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't say 10 minutes after the guy rolls over and reaches for a towel, but at some point, to me, when things become viable and you can recognize eyeballs and heartbeats and stuff, at a certain point it becomes viable, and then I go, that's life beginning.
Totally. And I don't think that
sort of a Mason-Dixon line for that.
I don't really have a Mason-Dixon line for that. And I don't think that that's like the core issue here. I think – why are you laughing at me, Brian?
I'm sorry. I was just thinking it's like when a boat becomes a yacht. Does anyone know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does anyone know?
Repeat it, he's on.
If DiCaprio asks if he can come on it.
But same thing.
Do you think of fate?
No, I'm saying it's a little bit of a question that it's a little bit of a trap question, but I still think – if you're honest, you'll answer it. Like I've said, when you learn how to work a universal remote, that's when you become a viable human being.
Right. Yeah.
In my mind. Yeah. No, I if you look at the sonograms and stuff like that, there's somewhere in there in about, 8 weeks or 10 weeks or something. I go, I just say, here's a cutoff. I don't want it past that.
I'll go with that, but I completely understand why people think that life begins at conception.
All right. So,
but if you agree with 8 weeks, then you agree with all the Republican heartbeat bills that were just passed.
I mean, the stuff I don't know specifically about the heartbeat bills, but the stuff that's going on in Georgia.
I think Alabama went too far.
And Alabama? No,
South Dakota just passed a heartbeat bill. Arkansas passed a heartbeat bill. So that's 8 weeks.
So, but right, that's fine. But if Roe v. Wade was to be overturned, do you think that it should be federally illegal, or do you think it should go to the states?
I would come to a – I could see myself compromising, even though I believe that life begins in conception, that there should be some form of societal agreement that when a fetus or a child or a baby, whatever I call it, a child, a baby, a human life, has a heartbeat, that that is indeed a human life.
And you cannot abort it.
That's correct, unless there's exceptions for life of the mother or, right. or some other – which, by the way, are a small minority
right.
of a minority
that
of all abortions.
That issue gets brought up so often, and it's like,
however,
why are we talking about this?
But the, if it's okay.
It is weird if you just came here from another country and you're watching the debate on abortion. I just never thought about this. But they're like, well, what about rape? What about incest? You'd be like, Jesus Christ, there's a lot of fucking dads fucking their daughters in this country. Like, it's always the first thing brought up, like, incest, rape, incest. And like,
yeah, I mean,
it's probably, I want to tell the foreign 1%. Friends, it's probably a small percentage of pregnancies from family members.
Charlie, how about this is a compromise? Maybe it won't ring true.
Max Zapata, sorry. Okay. I just want him to do his home, do some homework. When does the heartbeat usually kick in? As long as we're talking about times. And then, Brian, can you find that Don Johnson song?
Well, speaking of which, Ken, I don't know this is true. I have to imagine a very, very, very small percentage of 8-week-old child or fetuses, whatever, with a heartbeat can survive outside the womb. What about once a child can survive outside the womb? Whatever that cutoff is, like survivability, that becomes, you know, a viable human life as opposed to something that's dependent on a host to for life.
I think that's a really dangerous argument because...
They're all dangerous arguments.
Well, I mean, you could have a 26-week-year-old child at a very, very late term that can't survive on its own, but it's fully formed, has fingernails, you know, unique DNA, thumbprints, so on and so forth. Would you at least agree that some of these – the late-term abortion movement would be troubling on the left, saying that
– Yeah.
Okay.
1,000%.
Then you and I see – I'm glad to hear you say that.
The reason why I'm getting kind of frustrated with the discourse today is because those kinds of things dominate the conversation and they're not really applicable to the broad argument and they dictate the conversation way too much. But one last thing I wanted to ask you. You put out a video about Americans subsidizing Planned Parenthood.
Correct. You $500 guys, million dollars a year.
$500 million
in taxpayer money.
Subsidize the abortion industry, which is a little misleading term. I feel like that one was workshopped. But we pay taxes to things that we disagree with all the time. There were so many Americans who paid taxes to go to a war they didn't support. Like, where is the line that you draw? We can't pay taxes for things that we don't agree on.
Well, and also Planned Parenthood they provide a host of other services.
Right, which is – well, but that constantly gets brought up. The right just does not give Planned Parenthood its due. I mean, I know that they perform a lot of abortions, but you know that they provide a lot of other services.
There's
too.
Also thousands of family health planning clinics that don't provide abortions that also provide those. So but look, it's also – first of all, there's a thing called the Hyde Amendment, which you're not supposed to use taxpayer dollars towards abortion, that was passed in the 80s. The way they get around it is they say the money's not going towards abortion.
Well,
so that's the first thing.
I agree.
They
it's
use
not,
it for overhead. It would be like, well, we're going to pay for the whole building for Adam's show, but we're not supporting the
I
show.
Get that. I
but
get that.
The second
that.
Thing yeah. is this is should U.S. taxpayer dollars go towards the direct termination of a human life? Our own human lives.
I mean, they go to our men and women getting killed and killing strangers all the time.
But America, it's not the direct deliberate termination of another human life.
Yeah, I mean,
death penalty.
I'm against the death penalty.
No, but that
completely.
Goes to the death penalty.
Right. No, that's why I'm against it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so
fair enough.
Oh, well, that's consistent. I'm for the death penalty.
Yeah, I'm kind of for the death penalty too.
But I think the abortion argument's super important. Because I think it speaks to who a society is. If we can't protect those that can't protect themselves.
Charlie, don't do that, man.
Don't do that. What's he doing? Go ahead and do it, Charlie.
Charlie, do it.
I'm just saying, you represent.
If you can't protect those that can't protect themselves, then who are we as a people?
So also.
Go ahead, Dylan. Or
I mean, I feel
sorry.
Like we could do a better job at protecting the women that, you know. Whether you want to perceive them as – however you want to perceive them, we should focus on taking care of the women that need to be taken care of.
I totally agree. I think instead of
– We fail at that a lot.
Instead of $500 million to Planned Parenthood, how about $500 million to adoptions? Would you support that?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
okay.
You know, I just don't. There's this weird hypocrisy, I think, from the right a lot of the time, where they don't want abortions to happen, but they also are not a big fan of the federal safety net. They kind of like to slash after school programs and stuff like that. I can't reconcile with that. Like, if you want the kid to come out of the womb, then we're going to be saddled with the burden of taking care of that kid. And ultimately, this is all ridiculous. I just really think it's up to that person. But we shouldn't be cavalier about it. It's up to that
person. The final thing is, the conservatives would argue it's not, because there's two human beings involved. One that is alive, both that are alive, one that is an adult and formed, and one that isn't, and both deserve equal protection. And I mean, we call a celebration of a pregnancy a baby shower, not a fetus shower. When a woman gets tragically killed in a car accident who's pregnant, it's two deaths on the death certificate, not one.
Double homicide.
These laws are already reflected in the unspoken parts of our culture. And yet when a woman might celebrate a pregnancy through a baby shower, how is that? How is everyone celebrating that as a baby? And then afterwards, you can go to Planned Parenthood and terminate that. Life is not a subjective thing.
They're celebrating that woman's preparedness and future to adequately raise that child.
But then why don't they call it why do they call it a baby shower then?
It sounds good. Fetus shower is very nasty.
If the same woman has a miscarriage, which I've seen and dealt with among friends multiple times, a lot of times that is not, and none that I can think of, is that mourned in a way of, I lost my baby, depending on how far along there. If it's a chemical miscarriage, if it's, you know, whatever around the 2 month mark or whatever, it's disappointing. It's sad, but it's not my baby died. Well,
it depends. If you talk to a really strong Catholic, they would disagree at that.
So that's my other question. How much is this?
What's a chemical miscarriage?
I don't know exactly what there were, but
it's a fragile state early on.
It's early on. You might not know why you're bleeding. It might be.
They call
it
a chemical miscarriage?
That's what it was. That's how it was described to me.
Where the hell no?
How much of this is faith-based?
Well, personally, quite a lot. On a policy level, I try to argue everything through a secular lens. I don't think anyone should try to make public policy arguments based on their own religious bias. And so everything I've been trying to do is try to make rational arguments that would be
– And you have.
Agreeable.
Yeah.
I guess the final thing I'll say is this, is I think we should at least come to an agreement that we should have less abortions. The abortion rate in New York City is outpacing the birth rate. Abortion is now used as a form of birth control. And I don't think that's a good thing for – I just don't. It's also
– Yeah. I agree with our ex-president who was a fan of the Lolita Express, Bill Clinton. What did he say? Safe, rare,
and cheap—not cheap, but inexpensive, or something like
that. Or accessible,
safe, normal, safe, rare.
Right.
Rare.
I mean, basically, it's something. It's something we can all agree there could be less of, and both sides would be happy. You know, my feeling on the whole abortion thing is, everyone should be against it in terms of. It's like I always say, look, you have a daughter. Mm-hmm. Would you like her to have an abortion? You go, no. So you go, okay. Well, then would you – but if she wanted an abortion, would you like it to be safe and fair or safe and legal or whatever? And it's like, yes. There is way too much finger-pointing and name-calling in this argument because the
– Good job, assholes.
I think you're fine.
No, it's kind of insane that there's this much around this thing. It's one of the few things that both sides agree on. They don't really agree on how to achieve it, but they sort of agree that it's bad. I think if you took everyone on the right, everyone on the left, and go, would you like less abortion? They would all go yes,
right.
You wouldn't say look. Pull everyone out on the right and ask them, would you like taxes raised? And they wouldn't go, well, honestly, yes. Like, they wouldn't do that. They go, no, I don't care if nobody's listening. Like, there's not too many subjects where both sides would universally agree on, would you like less of this?
Yeah,
and this is there. And with that in mind, it would seem like it'd be easier to arrive at some place in the middle, considering. Now, see, you take something like the borders and you take something like immigration and you go, okay, the right wants the borders closed down and wants everything regulated. The left says they want the borders regulated and safe this and all that, security and everything, but I'm not so sure that's what they actually want. That's my opinion on that. So I don't think you could take those two subjects and get the same answer in a quiet room where you got the guy drunk and you went, what did you really want? I don't know that you would get that same answer on immigration. You would get that answer on abortion, and you certainly wouldn't get it on taxes, and you probably wouldn't get it on regulation. You probably wouldn't get it on foreign policy. It's actually, or energy. It's one guns. Of the few subjects, or guns. It's one of the few subjects that you would get the same answer on. You might get a different modality, but you'd get the same answer.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I do think that there are a lot of liberals who probably are advocates of stricter border control. I don't think that that's crazy. There are these factions on Twitter that are so loud, and we're taking their opinions, and they get to define what the blue color or the red color, and it's nuts. I think there are a lot of people in the middle who are like, yeah,
all right.
I
but what I'm saying is, solved. What I'm saying is if you took a guy who was the team captain for the Republicans, and you put him in one room, and you took the folks probably transitioning team captain transitioning, but we talked to that person and you said to those two people, what do you think about abortion? Would you like less abortion? If you had a magic wand, less abortion in this nation, they'd both go yes. If you asked them about immigration, I don't know that you'd get the same answer. Not the middle. The middle's always pretty good. I'm just saying the far reach. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. That's why I brought it up, because I think it's a question that can bring agreement. And there are...
Yes, Brian.
The one thing I think Charlie was 100% right about is amongst a certain segment of the population, abortion is used as birth control. That's a tragedy. And whether it's whatever it is, we can do it at the root of the problem, education, better access to birth control, whatever it is, that needs to be the solution. Attack that problem at the root.
The heartbeat, this is interesting. The heartbeat begins at 6 weeks, so says Max Penn on the internet, but at 17 weeks, the fetal brain begins to regulate it. So there are bookends, and I guess we'd argue about what the week number is before. All right. Dylan, you've done a yeoman's job of representing your peeps. You get back to your drum circle, ripping bong loads,
and
attacking our flag. Charlie, you hang in because you're an American. We'll do the news. First, I will hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. You drop off your dry clean. You pick up the milk. How about you save hundreds of dollars to your auto insurance, and you don't have to go anywhere? You go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket at geico.com. All right, quick break. We come right back with the news.